back in the CBGB's days, yeah. I mean the original CBGB's days, and I know you get asked this a million different ways, but how obvious was it to you that you were very, very different than the bands surrounding you for so many reasons?
I think probably because of where we were coming from. I mean, we played with a lot of different really cool bands back in the day. And you know, every band is coming from a place. And rock to me is like, when I think about rock, my history of rock and roll is different than the conventional history of rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Like, in a way, the black involvement in the conventional history of rock and roll kind of ends with Hendrix and Sly Stone.
Right.
And in my mind, you know, my history of rock and roll is like War is a rock band, not really a funk band. You know, War is a rock band, like Little Feet is a rock band. Mandrill is a rock band, like, you know, Blood, Sweat, and Tears is a rock band. I just had the pleasure of speaking to Edwin Birdsong, who's a keyboardist, arranger, singer, songwriter, who had released a record in the 70s called Supernatural. And this record is one of the greatest. They just reissued it on Polydor. And that introduced me to the guitar playing of Ronnie Drayton, mm-hmm. who was a real influence and not a super well-known guitar player, but man, his playing on this record kind of predates things I've heard from Van Halen and even Alan Holdsworth, you know. Very, very, very powerful. So a lot of the influences for us were very different, you know, because they include Led Zeppelin and The Who and the Sex Pistols, but it also includes the Bad Brains and Mother Night and Automatic Man and all of these bands that people don't know about. And some of the bands were lumped into other things. Some of the bands were lumped into the fusion category. Some of the bands were lumped into the funk category. But for me, they were all part of rock and roll, because rock and roll, you know, what is rock and roll? I mean, rock and roll is Ozzy Osbourne, but it's also Steely Dan.
And in the old days, rock and roll was doo-wop, and even Pat Boone was trying to do rock and roll, and he was trying to get under that label. So I think it's very true. We've lost our when we talk about rock, number one, we've lost the role. The role is gone.
Yeah, well, you know, rock is also your parents now. I mean, rock at one time was complete freedom and release. And rock became an industry. I mean, rock became massive. I mean, by the time Lee Abrams and his consultancy and all of that happened, you know, rock was this industry. I mean, at the time, you know, we're here in San Francisco, and at the time, you know, like, you know, all the Bay Area musicians from the Grateful Dead through Santana, the Quicksilver Messenger Service, you know, like, all of these people were forging a new trail, you know. And doing a whole other kind of thing. I mean, they really took the Summer of Love thing seriously. And what happened is, by the time of Woodstock, and George Clinton told me, you know, Woodstock was the end. Like, for many people, it was their discovery of this alternative, of, you know, the peace, love, and power thing. But, you know, he was like, oh no, you know, Woodstock was literally the end of it. And in a way, in a kind of a way, what happened, I saw it again with Lollapalooza, with Living Color and Lollapalooza.
Funniest thing, there it is right there, question number three. You were on the first Lollapalooza tour.
You were on the first Lollapalooza tour, and it was an incredible experience, and we shared the stage with you know,
Jane's Addiction
and Trent Reznor, you know, with Nine Inch Nails and, you know, the Rollins Band, and, you know, it was this incredible thing. But, you know, we had endless debates about what it meant, because, you know, backstage we were like, sort of like, well,
what are we doing here?
Yeah. And this thing it's great, it's massive, it's incredibly successful. At that time, you know, the Monsters of Rock tour was out, and Lollapalooza was just a bigger thing. And we knew at that time that the alternative, alternative rock or grunge or all of that sort of stuff was becoming the mainstream, and that's okay. But it also meant the end of a certain thing.
End of an era is gone.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like the echo. It echoed what happened mm-hmm. with Woodstock those many years ago.
Yeah, it's tricky stuff. So it's interesting that you, I mean, and I've read all the history, obviously, but you split in 95 and you reformed 2001, 2 years later. Here's Kaleidoscope. And you did your reformation at CBGB's again, didn't you? So I mean, talk about change. Okay, here's the Bowery, for crying out loud. I mean, the club hasn't changed, but everything surrounding it has changed. So tell me a little bit about what that was like.
I mean, the first thing, I want to give a shout out to the owner, Hilly Crystal, because Hilly Crystal is one of those incredibly rare individuals, a real visionary, like a John Hammond, like a Willie Mitchell, you know, a real visionary in terms of music, of where music is going and where it is. Even though he's not a producer of records, he, you know, I mean, really just had a vision in terms of his taste, in terms of what bands are about, and his love of the culture of bands, and giving bands a real shot. And so many wonderful people have come through. And, you know, Hilly Crystal, I mean, he gave us, he gave me, he gave this thing, he gave it a real platform. And he believed in it, and he booked it. You know, I mean, I remember playing at CBGB's, and literally, you know, it was like the bar staff and maybe three people had just wandered in. And he was like, and I was completely demoralized, you know. And he was like, you know, I really liked it. And I was still completely despondent, you know, after the gig. And, you know, so many of the major things that happened in the development of Living Color, the idea of Living Color, happened there. I mean, there were gigs there that were absolute disasters. And yet he would saw the kernel of what was good and said, you know, I'll book you again. You know, we'll try it again in a month or something. And you know, Corey Glover's first gig with the band was at CBGB's. The gig that got us signed to our original recording deal to Sony happened at CBGB's. I mean, that's where Mick Jagger saw the band. The last show that the band did before I broke the band up was at CBGB. So it really looms large.
It's the pivot in the whole thing.
It's the place. And so many people that we met, you know, had the pleasure of meeting, so many incredible performances I saw. You know, I mean, people that came and went, and I mean,
and people have completely, because I play a lot of the live at CBGB stage. Yeah. A lot of the bands that people have completely, the shirts and all these, that people have completely forgotten existed.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an incredible thing, and even through the jam band thing, even through like Modesky Martin and Wood playing at the CBGB's gallery. I mean, you know, he's connected to like just about almost every major movement in, you know, in contemporary music, of pop music. I've heard it at CBGB's, from hip hop to
yeah, it's definitely genre, you know.
He's genre agnostic.
Yeah, agnostic.
He's got the,
he just knows good music.
Incredible taste. I mean, you know, and we need people like that. You know, like, you know, Bill Graham, Hilly Crystal. We need people that really believe and really hear it, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. Which is actually a great segue, because I have to tell you, and I'm not saying this because you're sitting here, but the new album sounds as fresh as Vivid did. I mean, whatever it took in that time off, and all the other things and paths that all of you explored, you obviously saved something up for Living Color, and you found it and put it into this album, because it really is as fresh in the variety of things you've done. And I guess maybe the time off was just a spectacular thing.
Yeah, well, I think the thing about Living Color is that we're our own subgenre of music. I mean, it's kind of like the making of that record was very hard won. And it really, you mentioned process. And people are so